I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Man, they screwed up so bad with this raid. Everyone's releasing the warrant now. Trump's people releasing the warrant. I mean, I know you saw all this stuff already, but there's just nothing there to justify sending in 30 FBI agents. And just a heads up, this, I probably should have told you this at the beginning of the show. If somebody, anybody, if your crazy aunt tells you he can't take classified documents, Donald Trump, as president of the United States of America, has the authority to declassify anything he wants. Nothing is off limits for him. As president, he can declassify anything he wants. Him taking them means they're declassified. They did not do their homework on this thing. They did not have any idea how this thing's going to go. Maybe we finally will be a GOP that's willing to shutter the doors of the FBI. Dear Just Jesse, the guy says, do you think Trump would be better to clean house since he's mad and he can't run again? The other Republicans might be unwilling to do what we need because they want to be reelected. Is Trump the man to do it? I don't know. As I said it a couple days ago, I think this is a notch in the pro-Trump column because I do believe he will be uniquely angry and uniquely ready to go after them. I do believe that all the way. At the same time, I have to ask the question, and so do you. It doesn't matter how uncomfortable it makes you or how uncomfortable it makes me. I want to know how involved Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump are going to be and Donald Trump's next presidency, if he's elected again. Because I watched this happen for 4 years. I had people very, very close to Donald Trump who would talk to me about it. I watched 4 years of the Trump agenda that you love and Trump agenda that I love. I watched it be watered down and ignored for 4 years because Donald Trump trusts Ivanka Trump and keeps her next to him, and she's a Democrat. Jared Kushner's a Democrat. The people Trump trusts most are Democrats who don't believe what you want. I bring that up because I think it's a very fair question to ask. If Donald Trump's going to be our nominee in 2024, and I think that's likely, and he's potentially going to be our president in 2024, I would like to know, is Donald Trump going to walk into the White House and direct the GOP to begin the dismantling of the FBI, only Jared and Ivanka are going to be there to tell him how bad that'll look to the media, and we can't do it, guys, because we'll look mean? That is a very fair question to ask. I haven't seen anybody ask it yet, but I want to know the answer. Because, again, this cannot be a Trump Part 2 ego trip. It can't even be a Trump revenge tour. We have gigantic issues that need to be solved now, or we can't come back from this. Is Trump the guy to do that? Maybe he is. I mean, it's personal now, right? Maybe he is the guy. I want to know where Jared and Ivanka are going to be. And that's a very fair question to ask, and you should be asking it too. Because for 4 years, they kneecapped the agenda you wanted and the agenda I wanted. I want to know what their role is going to be in the next White House. Dr. Jesse, I loved hearing your story about finding yourself on the jungle floor at night in Thailand after having stress tested your hammock and having all manner of creepy crawlies scurry all over you. As someone who has spent time living in the field in Kuwait, in Iraq, I'm sure you're familiar with camel spiders too. Oh, yes, I am. I bet a lot of your listeners have never even heard of them. Could you explain to the audience a little bit about these animals and how dealing with them is just another example on why the soft purge of the military matters? There are some conditions service members have to endure before even stepping foot on the field of combat, and most Americans can't even relate to or fathom. Semper Fi, do or die. Semper Fi, my brother. A camel spider? If you look one up, you go and look one up. Go ahead. You know, I'll do it with you. Do an image search on camel spiders. They were all over Iraq. We used to try to trap them. We'd actually trap two of them, and we'd have them fight each other. Chris just recoiled in horror. Yeah, it doesn't look like something that's of this world. It has, like, two sets of jaws on it. They're absolutely horrific, and they're gigantic. They can get huge. Not as big as you'll see in some of the pictures. Half the size of your palm, I would say. Get up to maybe the whole size of your palm. Those are really the ones I saw. But no, look, as I've explained, when I talk about the purge of the military and the changing of the mentality as you purge the type A, rough around the edges males, as you run out rural America, you know, that country boy in Tennessee listening to the sound of my voice right now, who's been deer hunting his whole life, he knows what bugs are like. He's been bitten by mosquitoes. He knows what it's like to sleep outside. When you run that guy out of the military because he doesn't want to learn about transgenders, and you fill your military up with people who aren't like that, how do they react when there are scorpions all over the ground? Have I ever told you that story? I'll never forget it. We were in 29 Palms, California. That's where I was stationed. It sucks. It's the middle of the Mojave Desert. And we were out in the field, which when I say out in the field, we had left base. And you go to the base and you go stay out because most of it's not buildings. Most of it's just desert and desert mountains and whatnot. And we go out to the field and we do various shoots of various kinds, various kinds of shoots. We do mortar shoots and all kinds of things out there. But we'd stay out in the field. We'd generally throw our packs on our backs and we'd hump out into the field and you'd stay out there for days and do all your field stuff and then you hump back. One night, we were, as Marines will do, it was time for bed, time for us to go to sleep, and we decided to screw off a little bit. Started playing with our NVGs, our night vision goggles, a little bit. And then we thought, oh, man, I better be kind of cool. I better be really cool to look around and see what's on the ground. How does the ground look? Because, by the way, if you ever get a chance to put on NVGs and you look at the stars in the sky looks absurdly cool with NVGs on. More stars than you've ever seen in your life. That makes sense. Well, these scorpions that are on the ground in the desert all over 29 Palms, they show up really, really clearly within your NVGs. And keep in mind, us getting stung by scorpions was fairly common. They weren't deadly. It felt more like a bee sting, but it was not very pleasant. Occasionally, you'd wake up and one had crawled into your sleeping bag with you and stung you. Why don't you get ready? Why don't you take one of these soy boys out there with a man bun and have him put on NVGs and look at the sea of scorpions surrounding him on the ground before he tries to go to bed at night. This is something I have a very difficult time trying to explain because it's hard to quantify. You have to have a certain level of hardness, I don't even know if that's a word, to deal with the various levels of misery that come your way as part of combat, as part of training. We used to joke by the time we were done that we all had a PhD in misery, that we didn't have to go to college because we already majored in misery. Misery is your life. Hot, cold, dirty, sweaty, exhausted. The wildlife, the misery is what you do. If you have a bunch of effeminate guys in there and that's your unit, you are not going to be able to endure it. You're going to have units full of head cases that can't get the job done. Want to know what that actually looks like in combat? Ask a Vietnam veteran. I've been blessed to talk to many, many, many of these guys. Because we put in a draft, the U.S. Army especially, swept up all kinds of bottom feeders because they needed warm bodies to go to Vietnam and they weren't getting enough volunteers. The studs I've talked to that served in Vietnam, they will tell you in a private moment, we had guys cracking up all over the time, and I don't mean laughing, mentally breaking down. That's why drug use went through the roof. Combat is misery. If you have a bunch of weak people who can't handle said misery, you're in very, very, very deep trouble. All right. Did they cross the Rubicon yesterday? People have more personal questions. I'm going to pick up the pace and get more of these Ask Dr. Jesse questions in. Before I get to that, I want you tomorrow's Saturday, right? Tomorrow's Saturday? Can you give me 10 minutes of practice with your Mantis X tomorrow? Remember, Mantis X, you dry fire practice inside your home. And I don't want you to be under the impression this is just target practice. You're going to pick up your weapon. It attaches to your weapon, whatever your weapon is. You're going to pick it up and you're just going to do target practice. They will put you through drills. Drills are a critical part of getting better. And what you're going to find is you're going to get better very, very quickly. And your confidence with your weapon is going to go through the roof. Confidence comes with training and practice, and Mantis X provides that. It's what the Green Berets use. If you go to Marine Corps boot camp in Paris Island, go check out what they're using. You'll notice something familiar. They use Mantis X. It's available to you. Military-grade technology. Go to MantisX.com and get one today. MantisX.com.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget, you can email the show. During the show is fine, whenever. You can email Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. You remember when Hillary got busted with all her classified documents? And keep in mind, it wasn't like a whoopsie. Hillary purposely set up a private email server so she could keep classified documents on it so she wouldn't be subjected to Freedom of Information Act requests. I mean, standard Clinton stuff. And you remember what Comey had to say about it, right? This is a couple minutes, but I just want to remind you.
Respect to our recommendation to the Department of Justice. In our system, the prosecutors make the decisions about whether charges are appropriate based on evidence that the FBI helps collect. Although we don't normally make public our recommendations to the prosecutors, we frequently make recommendations and engage in productive conversations with prosecutors about what resolution may be appropriate given the evidence. In this case, given the importance of the matter, I think unusual transparency is in order. Although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case.
Okay. Why would I play that? Well, I know you've seen all the news today, and we've talked about it already on the show, about how they're struggling. Right now, the system is desperate. They're at a desperation level. They're struggling to justify that raid. It's very obvious to anyone with a brain by now. There's no way it was justified. That's why they're throwing out Espionage Act and nuclear codes. They are now officially at the just grab some words and throw them against the wall and find what sticks mode. I brought up that because I want to read you this real quick. Dear Shogun Oracle, the Biden administration crossed the Rubicon yesterday. If you ballpark it, what percent of... I'm going to stop here. Cross the Rubicon. I know you already know this, but we're going to do just a brief rewind, a little history rewind here, so I can explain what that phrase actually means. Julius Caesar was a great general. He was up in Gaul, up in France, basically. He was up in Gaul, and he was essentially conquering Gaul with his armies, but not really legally. The Senate that supposedly ran Rome, well, it did run Rome at the time, they kept saying, hey, he's got to come back. This war is not authorized. Well, Caesar was out to conquer. He was out to get rich. He was out to take everything over. And the Senate couldn't seem to get him to stop it and come home. They called it an illegal war, so on and so forth. And then what happened? The Senate... they began to basically threaten Caesar. And what they did, it was really a gigantic political mistake. They basically told him, hey, I don't care what you do now or when you come back, You're going to be tried as a traitor whenever you come back. Well, once you've done that, you've guaranteed you're going to get a response out of him that isn't good. Who's going to come surrender to that? So what did Caesar do? He gathered his army, he gathered his legions, and he went back south towards Italy. And there's a river called the Rubicon. Okay? Why does everyone continue to use this phrase, cross the Rubicon? Because when you were Caesar, once he took his army across the Rubicon, that officially, according to Roman law, made him a traitor. It was a treasonous act. So even if he had stopped, 5 feet over the Rubicon and turned around and went back, it's too late. You're already a traitor. There's no going back. There's only going forward now. I believe Donald Trump is going to end up getting arrested. Now, maybe that sounds crazy to you off the past 48 hours because it looks bad, right? They look bad. Joe Biden says, I didn't know. Chuck Schumer didn't know. Nancy Pelosi didn't know. They're changing the story. Now we got nuclear codes. They look bad. Yes, you're right. They look terrible. But when you take the step to send 30 federal agents inside of Donald Trump's personal home, you have crossed a Rubicon. You can't go back now. There's nothing they can do. Momentum in politics, in life, is a hugely powerful thing. Good momentum and bad momentum. And believe me, I've been on both sides of that. It's hugely powerful. If you're Democrats now, you've gone all in on January 6th. You raided Donald Trump's home. Now you're changing your story. But you know what you can't do right now? If you're Merrick Garland, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, take your pick. You know what you absolutely cannot do? It's not an option. You can't step up to the mic and say, dang it. Look, that raid wasn't justified, guys. We didn't have enough. It was a huge mistake. It was way out of line to do something like that. I would like to, as Merrick Garland, just extend a heartfelt apology to Donald Trump for that kind of raid. That is something that should never happen in American politics. If it does, it should be majorly justified, and this wasn't, and I apologize. We're going to just let all this stuff go and let bygones be bygones. Now, you're laughing or rolling your eyes because that can't happen. Here's what's wild. That's the only chance we have at coming back from that, something like that. But they can't do that now. They've crossed that Rubicon. They can't do that. Their political base will not allow them to do that. So what do? You have to keep going. Just like Caesar. Once he crossed the Rubicon, you can't go back. You can't stay there. Brother, we're heading to the gates of Rome. They have to keep going. And I believe right now, 100%, many people in power, the Schumers, the Bidens, the Pelosis of the world, they understand they are officially now on a political suicide mission, and they want to stop. They want to take it back. They just can't. The momentum is too strong. You have no choice now but to play this to the bone. They're going all the way to Rome. What does all the way to Rome mean? It means you're going to have to arrest Donald Trump. You can't go back across the Rubicon. It's too late. That's where they're at now. So the guy asked about, do I think the GOP, that I think they have the stones to do what needs to be done? Absolutely not. You have to be their stones. They have to hear from you. Your congressman, your senator should be hearing from you already every day, demanding a dismantling of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and an investigation into the DOJ. You have to be the courage for our low T GOP. There's nothing. Look, you have to be their testosterone. All right. Get out there, take your chalk and go be the testosterone for GOP because they can't make themselves do it. We have a GOP full of this.
Do you think the FBI, do you still believe and trust in the FBI to do its job, even with a former president, in a nonpartisan way? Or do you believe, as the former president says, that the FBI is executing a witch hunt?
And there's been lots of questions before this raid about whether or not the FBI is doing their job apolitical. And we don't know the answer to that question yet.
There's a lot of that yet. There's a lot of that still. You have to be their guts. All right. The left. It's time to have a discussion about them and some fun stuff. Hang on.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Look, just again, one more quick thought on that. I see this ending with Donald Trump being arrested because there's no turning back. Yeah, you tried to run from it initially. Hey, I didn't know what was happening, but the truth is you did know. Everyone knows you knew. That's not going to work. That's why you've worked through three or four different explanations for the raid over the past few days. They can't come back from what they did. There's no return. So if there's no return, you only got one choice, and that's to go forward. Dear Jesse, I'm afraid of how dedicated the left is to their causes and how they won't even consider another view. How can you have a reasonable discourse and potential change if they won't listen and participate instead of name-calling and canceling our leaders? At this point, all change would have to be from the right, with eventual subsuming. That can't be a word. Is that a word, Chris? Subsuming? That's a fancy word. With eventual subsuming of our culture and political views. What say you? Well, I mean, do you want to hear it or not? There's no coming together with these people. They will accept nothing, nothing, except for your complete destruction. They desire you to get on your knees before them so they can finish destroying every good and decent part of this society, and they will accept nothing short of that. They will never stop even once they achieve that. Once they achieve that, they just turn to destroying each other. But these people will never stop. There is something that people get squeamish about talking about all the time. On the radio, TV, politicians get very, very, they get squeamish about using the word evil. I don't know why people get so squeamish about that. What's to be worried about? You're dealing with communists here. You are dealing with an evil religion. And there have been tons of evil religions in the past. You know, Aztecs torturing and killing children so it would rain. That's an evil religion. Communism is evil. You're dealing with evil. I played it for you last night. I'm not going to play it again because it's too gross. I don't know that I'll ever play it on the show again, ever. But I played you last night a licensed therapist in the state of Pennsylvania discussing something I've warned you was coming about how minor attracted persons, pedophiles, how they think that's just a legitimate thing and we should stop stigmatizing it. And I explained, and I'll explain it again. You understand that this is coming. Within 10 years, you will go to movies and there will be adult men with, ugh, gosh, I can't even get the words out, with a girlfriend or something of some kind who's a child, who's a young child, a 10-year-old girl. And you can yell about that or vomit in the trash can or do all of those things, but it is true. Why is that true? Because they are evil. What they want is evil. These people are evil, and evil doesn't have a bottom. There's no civil discourse with these people because can you negotiate with the devil? Are you under the impression you can come to a common agreement where he's just going to let you do your thing and you're going to let him do his thing? There is either victory over these people or there is subjugation to these people. There's not a third option. And allow me to be clear, I don't think that's awesome. I think that sucks. I would love to just, hey, man, I'll do my thing. You do your thing over there. We tried that for so long. It was always so naive. It was criminally naive. It's criminally naive for us to think we're going to live and let live our way out of anything. We are not. We are going to aggressively take these people on and defeat them, or we ourselves will be defeated. There's not a third direction. Someday, you might be the underground broadcast voice of the resistance. Would have sounded ridiculous not long ago, huh? Sadly, I hope you're getting prepared to broadcast over shortwave or something. I fully believe they will be coming to shut you down. Yeah, I've always believed that. I mean, especially as vocal as I am now about the administrative state and things like that, I've always believed they're probably going to come after me and probably going to destroy me. I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't want to be overly dramatic. I don't know what that means. Probably destroy my career, destroy my reputation, maybe kill me. I don't know. It's not something I fret about. It's not like that's going to dissuade me at all. We have an obligation. We have a duty to, I mean, I was going to say to our country, but honestly, we have a duty. I have a duty to my children and to my grandchildren who don't exist yet and their grandchildren to try to preserve and save this place. Do I think they'll come try to destroy me at some point? Maybe tomorrow? Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, most definitely. Just remember something. If they ever accuse me of having done something terrible, it's probably true. Dear once warrior and future King Jesse, where will you set up the penal colony? Will it be more of an island prison or an actual settlement colony? Will there be more than one? Will this be done while you are still leader of the Republic of Jesse or after you inevitably crown yourself emperor of Pax Americana? One. Penal colonies are critically underrated. I can't believe they don't exist anymore. What, Chris? Chris said Manhattan or Hawaii. Buddy, we are not giving them New York, and we're definitely not giving them Hawaii. No. Penal colonies need to be in some place wretched. Why do you think the French put theirs down off the coast of South America? It has to be horrible and tropical diseases and hot. No, not LA either. We're not giving them LA either, Chris. No. Penal colonies are outstanding, and it's the perfect place where we should house pedophiles and communists. They should all be, well, those are oftentimes really the same thing, but they should be banished to an island somewhere. And I don't care where it is. And guess what? I don't even really think we need many walls and guards. Let's have a naval patrol circling the island. Make sure no one gets off with a homemade raft. And let's just let them go and just see how it works out for all those minor attracted persons. I wish them the very, very best. Jesse, my neighborhood is infected with the darn Chinese spotted lantern flies. Every time I kill one, 10 more show up. They breed and feed in herds. They've surpassed the migration of wildebeests. I will fight them until I wear out my bug swatter, my flip-flopping, and so my bug spray. I love the show, says I can say her name or his name. His name is Dory. Listen, this is what you're doing wrong. I've tried to explain this before. When I kill a fly in the house, I don't throw it away. In fact, sometimes when I'm swatting flies, I don't even swat to kill. I swat to wound. Why? I want him laying there with that one little wing. Bzz, bzz, I'm doing my fly sounds. Bzz, I want him laying there right there telling all of his friends, oh my gosh, don't come in here. These people are crazy. This guy's some kind of sadist. He's saying that in the bzz, in that kind of language. Don't come in here. You leave one wounded. Your problem is you're killing them. You leave one wounded as a message to the others. Everyone knows that. Gosh. Jesse, any idea how long people who take insulin will have when everything collapses? I'm not a diabetes expert. I do, however, remember Mao having his once very good friend and second in command. He had him killed. He had him killed by withholding insulin from him If I remember right, it took 48 to 72 hours, and it was horrific pain and misery like you can't possibly even imagine. Good news is we have an entire segment left. Bad news is I have a boatload of emails, and I'm going to have to churn and burn through them at a rapid pace. All right, at a very rapid pace. So buckle up. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. You like my anti-communist shirt, Chris? Remember, you can watch me in my anti-communist shirts. You can watch me do the show if you want on thefirsttv.com/Jesse. We have a fat stack here of emails I didn't get to, and I'm going to get to them in just a moment. But have you switched your cell phone service yet? Have you switched your cell phone service yet? And I want you to understand something. I've had Verizon. AT&T was the first cell phone I've ever had. I've had that too. The one I just switched from was T-Mobile. So I'm not talking down to you about funding our enemies, right? I've done it. Look, I funded my own destruction too. I've done it. Shouldn't we stop? And maybe these steps seem small. Maybe you consider these steps small. Are they small? If 80, 90 million Americans start being more purposeful with where they spend and don't spend their money, do you think the communist corporate world would be able to withstand that? Pure Talk saves the average family over $900 a year. You don't sacrifice coverage. Same 5G network as one of the big guys. Right? Shoot. Right now you get a month free. If you dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, you get a month free. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly, switch to Pure Talk.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Shogun, does it seem like a repeat of 08-09? Just worse, how many of Obama's people were in the administration again? Okay, I have explained this before. I'll explain it again. Barack Obama, I hate him more than I hate any American politician in history. But part of the reason I hate him is because he was so good. It's not just because he's an America-hating communist. There's plenty of those. He was very good at presenting himself as some kind of milquetoast moderate. In the meantime, he spent 8 years jam-packing this government with every single person who hates the country. Everyone's talking about Merrick Garland out there right now. Really? Lisa Monaco's the assistant AG running all these things. Where'd Lisa Monaco come from? Barack Obama. The damage Barack Obama did is going to be generational damage with how many America haters he put in there. So much of this comes back to Obama. Dear food lover, Dr. Food Lover, can you please share the proper way to construct nachos again? Again, for the people in the back. I'm so sick. Don't shake your head, Chris. I'm so sick of watching everyone screw this up. You get your chips. You lay your chips out. You put your meats and maybe your jalapeno peppers or whatever else you put on there. And then what do? You take your queso and you pour it over the top like some kind of savage. The queso goes on the bottom. The queso goes on first, then your chips, then you can put your meat in whatever. It allows you to much more control over your chip to queso ratio. Plus, you're not dealing with only soggy chips. You always have a dry finger to pull a chip out of there instead of having to sit there and wipe your hands the whole time. I'm so tired of having to educate everybody. Velveeta King, what's your opinion on the best pizza in the country? New York, and it's not even close. It's not even close. I will tell you what's underrated is Detroit-style pizza. A lot of people don't know about Detroit-style. Chris, you're going to have to look it up. It's hard to describe. It's thicker. And I mean, sometimes I like it thicker, but it's thicker. New York, though, no one does. New York and New Jersey, it's not fair to cut out New Jersey. New Jersey has some of the best sandwich shops and pizza shops I've ever eaten at in my life. Jesse, I'm a nurse of 25 years. The crap I still see. Still walking around in a paper mask all day. MDs still giving people remdesivir. Veer, however you say that. It does nothing. If anything, it keeps people in the hospital longer, but Medicare is still paying an extra $30,000 if the patient is COVID positive. It's criminal. Here's your reminder to vet your doctor. And I'm not going to get upset here, but man, the medical institutions, the medical community in this country, somebody who means a lot to me, just talked to him today. Lungs are all torn up, maybe irreparably torn up, because a doctor told them they had to get the vaccine. Now the doctor flat out admitted to them, yeah, it was probably the vaccine. Sorry about that. Gosh, so daggone wrong. Dear Dr. Jesse, I heard you the other day getting very upset about people eating soup. I know men are supposed to say this to women, not the other way around, but calm down. Think of your blood pressure. We need you healthy. I view soup as just another vehicle for melted cheese. Soup topped with butter, breadcrumbs, and melty cheese can be so comforting. The bowl gets encrusted with cheese and hard to clean, but you're married, so you never have to worry about that. We may have a lot less choice about what we eat as an economy gets worse, so don't roll out soup as an option. Melted cheese is the way to make it bearable. You're welcome. And buenas tardes, oh great one.
Buenas tardes.
Says I can say her name. Her name is Carol. Carol, buenas tardes to you. And I will defend Carol on this. I do order French onion soup every now and then in the restaurants. Allow me to defend myself. I don't eat any of the soup, okay? I tell the waiter, no, Chris, listen, let me finish. I tell the waiter, I want an absurd amount of cheese on this. And then I'll say to him, hold on. Did I say extra cheese? No, I didn't. I said I wanted an absurd amount of cheese on there. I told him, however much cheese they think is too much, that's how much cheese I want on my French onion soup. And then the wife is horrified because I get my French onion soup and I just eat the cheese off and none of the gross soup and I hand it back. What, Chris? Dr. Jesse, I'm not sure if maybe Chris and Michael have toned you down or what, but you've been slipping in your hang-up game. It's been forever since you quick-clicked any, hi, Jesse, love the show, thanks for taking my call. Oh, no. Have I gone soft on the callers? Chris is nodding his head. Michael, do you support this? Have I gone soft? Oh, my gosh. I've gone soft on the callers. Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. Look, noted. I will change my ways. Let it be known. The days we open up the phones next week, you know it's about once or twice a week. Don't thank me for the call. Don't say, hi, Jesse, how you doing? Don't tell me you love the show or it's getting the hook. I have a reputation to uphold here, okay? Hey, Jesse, I'm a big fan of your show. I know. And I just had to ask, do you like chocolate or vanilla ice cream? The answer is yes, but vanilla more than chocolate. Vanilla doesn't get near the love of chocolate, and I find that to be ridiculous. Dear Jesse, the Supreme Sultan. Is it possible for red state governors to kick out the communist government institutions like the FBI? No, because they put these buildings in states. They put them on federal lands most of the time. So that little piece of land where the FBI headquarters is, oftentimes it doesn't belong to the state within. But we're probably going to need them to. Let's be honest. We're probably going to need them to. This probably not a way around that. All right. You practice with your Mantis X this weekend. Give me 10 minutes. I'll give you 10 minutes. Keep your chin up. Have fun. I promise all the problems will still be here on Monday. All right? That's all.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.